as we encounter the focal point of John in chapter 2, we want to take a real close look at verses 15 through 17, where John offers us wisdom and knowledge and invites us to go deeper into the understanding of that scripture. And this is what it says as John at John 2, 15 through 17. It says, making a whip of cords, he drove all of them out of the temple, both the sheep and the cattle. He also poured out the coins of the money changers and overturned their tables. He told those who were selling the doves, take these things out of here. Stop making my father's house a marketplace. His disciples remembered that it was written, zeal for your house will consume me. And this is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen. I'd like for us this morning to hear these words of scripture. And as we hear them, let us focus on our theme for today, radical change. Radical change. There's one word that will raise the emotional level in a room. And I'm certain that it doesn't make a difference what language it's spoken in. And that word is change. Change is not a word that a person typically feels uncertain about. People either hate change because they've grown comfortable in their life or position and don't want anything to upset the status quo, or they welcome change because of the excitement of doing something new, or perhaps they're anxious about change because it will cause a disruption and they aren't sure what that disruption will mean, or perhaps they're in a wait and see mode about change. Neither excited, anxious, or hateful, just waiting to see just how much change is on the table. And yet there is a kind of change that causes almost everyone to have some sort of reaction. It's called radical change. That's the kind of change that causes people to say, I didn't see that coming. And the change that we often don't see coming, even when we know about it, is the change that is initiated by God. This change has been a long time coming. It's hard to put a number to the amount of years this particular day in the life of Jesus has been in the works. But it's been coming. God has told them through the prophets, and David announced it in his 69th Psalm when he wrote the words, for it is for your sake that I have become a reproach, that dishonor covered my face. I have become a stranger to my brothers, an alien to my mother's sons, for zeal for your house has consumed me, and the reproaches of those who reproach you have fallen on me. And then at Zechariah, he wrote, and there shall no longer be traitors in the house of the Lord of the hosts on that day. On that day. On this day, Jesus has entered the temple. And it was a normal day, not unusual for the time drawing close to Passover. The temple was typically the place where the travelers from Judah and other parts of the Orient would come. Some of them all from the family of Abraham, others from other religions to do nothing more than observe. Still others to experience the excitement of Passover, to exchange currency so that they could buy things in the country that was not their own. They could buy their ritually pure animals for the sacrifices that were to be made on the altar. Up to this point, everything was in order. Everything was as it should be. But then Jesus arrives to find out that things were like they should be. He finds things that, as he would normally find them, except that this day would be different. This day would be different because Jesus has entered into Jerusalem to fulfill his purpose in God's plan. This day would be different because he was ready to put the world on notice. So scriptures tell us that he made a whip out of cord running the people and the animals and all of the people that were in the temple out of the temple. And he then scattered the coins of the money changers and overturned the tables, fulfilling the words of the prophet Zechariah, who said, "And there shall no longer be traitors in the house of the Lord of hosts on that day." And that's when the prophet Zechariah's words rang in the ears of the disciples. "For zeal for your house has consumed me." That's what they heard. I don't think anyone saw that coming. It was a radical change that no one expected. And yet, what else could Jesus do? Since it was his life and his death that was going to render all of the things that they were doing unnecessary. What else could he do when he was about to become the perfect sacrifice? What else could he do when he was about to become the perfect exchange currency for all sacrifices and pay all debts owed to God in full? What else could he have done? It was a radical change initiated by God that had been talked about for years, for ages, and yet no one saw it coming. They were all honoring the traditions of the church, and Jesus upset the apple cart. They were all there to maintain the status quo, but Jesus came to disrupt the status quo. They were all there to set the table for the Passover meal, but Jesus came to reset the table. Jesus came to become the new Passover meal. This was a radical change from what anybody expected. It was so radical that they asked him for a sign to prove his authority to do what he was doing. And Jesus offered the most radical change ever: the power to convert the destroyed temple of his flesh into a living temple of God, and to do it within 3 days. They didn't see that coming either. But what does Jesus do? Well, what Jesus did was to do something that was radically different. And to be honest, the answer is simple if we're willing to accept some radical change on God's behalf. You see, friends, just as Jesus and many others came to Jerusalem to celebrate the time-honored traditions of the faith, we too come here to celebrate the time-honored traditions of our faith. And perhaps there's nothing radical about that. After all, it's our tradition. But just as Jesus went to celebrate the Passover, we came today to celebrate our Passover feast. We came to celebrate the sacrament of Holy Communion. As Jesus went to the temple to honor his God, we came today to give honor to God, to give praise and magnify the name of the Lord. We came today to sing praises and offer our prayers and seek connection with our God and be in the presence of others who came to worship our God in Jesus Christ. Following this time-honored tradition has been going on for years, and none of us came looking for or expecting anything to happen that would radically change that. None of us came or expecting or looking for anyone to turn over tables or make a whip of cords and drive us out. We would, in fact, be surprised if that happened and be caught in one of those "I didn't see that coming" moments. But we didn't come today to experience radical change. We entered the church today just as Jesus did years ago, to celebrate the time-honored traditions of his faith. But just as Jesus went to disrupt the process of traditional Passover, Jesus comes into us to disrupt our traditions, to prepare us for whatever new God is doing. You see, brothers and sisters, Jesus' job is to disrupt the traditions of our lives that don't lead us into a more dynamic relationship with God. Jesus comes to turn over the tables of broken relationships in our lives. He comes to drive out any and everything that keeps us from having a renewed and vital relationship with God. And it doesn't matter what it is. And whatever it is may cause a radical change in our lives. Jesus comes to disrupt long-held traditions that no longer have meaning for us. You know, those things that we do out of habit that we just do, things that we do that just don't have meaning anymore. Jesus comes to disrupt those things, whatever it is that may cause a radical change in our relationships. There's a story about an over-the-road truck driver who was actually somewhat of a menace on the road. He was something of a curmudgeon, a killjoy, and lived a bit on the nasty side of life until he encountered Jesus. Once while on the road, he saw a revival and decided to stop in, and one of the persons leading the revival asked if there was anyone new who had come into the faith, who had met the Lord, that was willing to testify. And he went down and he told his story. And then he got caught by surprise. They asked him to tell what had changed in his life since he met the Lord. And there was silence for about a minute. Then you saw his face light up, and he began to speak, and he said, "Well, when I'm driving on the road now, I no longer drive on the side of the road and kick up gravel on the cars behind me." It's a small thing, not a big thing at all. It's a simple thing. But the truth of the matter is, it was enough to encounter Christ, to disrupt his life, that he would stop doing what he had been doing before. And that's what Jesus comes to do. Jesus comes to disrupt our lives so that we can make a radical change in our relationship with our brothers and sisters, and a radical change in our relationship to God. For an over-the-road truck driver, it was just a simple disruption in his traditional behavior while he drove. For cars that rode behind him, it was a radical change for them. But again, Jesus comes to disrupt the traditions of our status quo and of our lives to establish a new relationship with him. Now, the truth of it is people see disruption of tradition in different ways. Some people welcome the breaking of tradition. For some, it gives them hope that things will be different. Like the disciples who saw Jesus and were reminded of the words of the prophet Zechariah, sometimes change will bring up memories of something that they've heard before, something that feeds into their understanding of what's happening now. Other people see the breaking of tradition as an interruption in the status quo. They panic out of fear that their roles of power, their status, their positions of respect in the community will be challenged and somehow diminished. And so they look for authorization papers. They want to know who the disruptor is in the community and who gave them permission to change things. We encounter that in Churches United for Justice when we ask them to do some things. We've found some difficulty working with the chief That's a whole nother story. They seek to invalidate any changes in procedure while validating their own status and authority. But we resist the change that we aren't ready to accept. And we resist the change because we have not perceived what God is doing. We haven't been open to the radical changes that God is bringing in. It doesn't matter how many times God sends prophets to tell us of upcoming changes, we're never ready for it or ready to accept it. It doesn't matter how helpful Scripture might be in terms of forewarning us of upcoming transitions, we're never quite ready to accept a disruption to our routine, whether it be of thought, of action, of culture, or anything else. If God would just leave things alone, we would be okay. But God challenges us to accept that which is new. God invites us to welcome things which bring in others ready and willing to give God the praise. God's way of doing things are unconventional. We often forget that God told Isaiah, "I'm about to do a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it?" He says, "I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. The wild animals will honor me and jackals and ostriches, for I give water in the wilderness and rivers in the desert to give drink to my chosen people, the people who I formed for myself so that they might declare my praise." There's nothing more radical than water in the desert. Just this week, we found out that someone found a lake in the middle of Death Valley, the hottest place on this planet, and they found a lake. Is that radical enough for our God? And because God's ways are unconventional, that's why we do that. We would have believed the sign that God gave Ahaz, that a virgin would be conceived. Who would have believed that old women named Sarah or Elizabeth would conceive past the age of childbearing and give birth to a child? Who would have believed that an old man named Simeon, who believed in God, would have his life blessed and disrupted to live just long enough to see his Savior's face? Who would have believed that a man could turn water into wine, or walk on water, or make the winds and waves obey his will, heal the sick, give sight to the blind, or cause, as Charles Wesley says, the deaf to hear, the dumb to speak, and the lame to leap for joy? Who would have believed that a temple could be destroyed and then be resurrected in 3 days? All of these ways of getting our attention are unconventional ways of redirecting us from the traditional to something new and causing radical change in our lives and our eternity. But God radically changes things. Where we have failed to keep the law, God has opened up the door of grace. Where we have labored to exclude people, God has made a way to include people. Where we have found a way to find comfort in our same old way of doing things, God steps in to radically change the old way and initiate a new order, a new process, a new vision, a new mission, a new beginning that frees us to let go of what was and embrace what God is doing now. God is the great disruptor, causing radical change in our lives that we, like those who were in the temple, might prepare for Christ to enter into our hearts, even on this day, to challenge us to break with tradition and make a new commitment to become a follower of Christ. On who is willing to become a living witness to Christ's love in service to our community? Christ comes to disrupt our lives that we might invite all people as our neighbors to join us as committed followers of Jesus Christ. Christ enters into the temple courts of our hearts to disrupt and radically change our attitudes, our willingness to work for Christ. Maybe today Christ is about to enter the temples of our bodies, created by God to disrupt everything that's standing in the way of reconnecting in the right, and perhaps make a whole and right relationship with God. Because that's what God does. He comes in to disrupt, to create radical change in our lives, so that we might create radical change in our world. And that's the word of God for people of God today. Perhaps